Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for our midweek Bible study right here on our website. The title of our Bible study, which used to be our radio broadcast years ago, is Let's Talk About Jesus. So in the midst of these times that we're living, I don't have to go into detail the headlines, the news, news agencies that are telling us all the things that are happening all over the world, seemingly simultaneously, this very week in which we are living, so many cataclysmic events are occurring around the world, so much global unrest, so many threats around the world, bringing a time of fear and a bleak future. As people look forward, they don't see answers to the problems, and the scripture is very clear. One of the signs of the last days would be men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at the things that are coming up on the earth. It will come to its apex in the midst of the tribulation. But these are the beginning of sorrows, according to the scriptures. When we see these things begin to come to pass, we, if you are a Christian today, a truly born-again Christian, and I use born again because it's not just a name, it's not just a religious ritual that we go through to become a Christian. We come to Christ in full faith in His finished work at the cross in our behalf. We come repenting of our sin and seeking God's pardon and forgiveness, and we receive it. And God does a mighty work within our heart and life. We become a new creation. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. And one of the things that becomes new is not just about our new moral compass, our new bent toward righteousness, but we become aware of the signs of the times, and we become acutely aware that Jesus is coming very, very soon. That's why the scripture says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. So we want to talk about these things. We want to talk about perfect peace in perilous times. Perfect peace in perilous times. I believe this will mark the true Christian from the hypocrite. I believe it's going to mark the true church from the phony church. Men's hearts will fail them for fear without this peace reigning in our heart and mind. But if this peace reigns in the midst of perilous times, it will mark us as the people that have hope, as opposed to the people that are living in hopelessness. Dear friend of mine, the Bible said if we're without God, we're without hope in the world. But we're not in the world, and we're not of the world. We are part and parcel of the kingdom of God. So I'm going to bring you this message. Turn with me to Psalm 112. I've ministered in this area before, and it's time that we revisit Psalm 112 on the subject, perfect peace in perilous times. Listen to it carefully. Praise ye the Lord, beginning with verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Now, this is not a proof text for the get rich like a Wall Street mogul or a Hollywood star or sports star. This wealth and riches is talking not just about monetary gain. It's talking about being right with God. It's not so much about a meal barrel that is is full and running over, but a blessed meal barrel that never goes empty, so that every need is met regardless of the famine, regardless of the circumstances. Listen to verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever, the righteous. You see, this is what keeps occurring, is our relationship with and to God. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. And he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The horn in Scripture is talking of power. Of power. Listen carefully. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Perfect peace in perilous times. The message today is all about the heart established in righteousness, so the mind can be established in peace. I want to say that again. The message today is all about the heart established in righteousness, so the mind can be established in peace. Peace with God results in the peace of God. Faith then conquers fear. While the world sees only a hopeless end, we as Christians enjoy an endless hope. We see the same dangers and threats as the world, but we see them through the lens of the blessed hope of the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we see the same things, we see them differently. When you see these things begin to come to pass, Jesus taught, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks very clearly, concisely about the last days or in the end times, the conditions upon the earth leading up to and into the great tribulation. No nation nor persons will escape the effect of these conditions. While fear's always been pursuing man after the fall, it will be the prevailing force in the end times. Listen to Luke 21, 25 through 27. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, puzzlement. They can't figure it out. We've always depended on our government or the think tanks and all of the smartest people in the world to somehow get together and find solutions to these complex, perplexing problems. Puzzlement is the Greek word. Listen, there will be distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The last days, without a doubt, will be dangerous days, perilous times. Because of man's rejection of light, darkness will fill the human mind and the human soul. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You know this scripture well if you're in any way concerned about where we are prophetically in time. 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. This is the persecution, you see. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. One translation says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. The Amplified says, times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Perilous in the Greek is a word that means hard to bear, hard to take, dangerous, fierce, harsh, and savage. From a base word that means to reduce the strength, it will wear us down. It will threaten to wear us out. Terrorism is the most descriptive word to characterize the 21st century, not just from some other nation, but from the times that we are living themselves. Terror literally means a state of intense fear. Listen, we're living in those days today, and peace is something more precious than gold or silver, because all the gold and all the silver in the world can't keep any rich person from the threat of accidents and incidents and all kinds of possibilities of and threats, diseases. One rich man, I forget his name, but he literally lived his life in complete isolation. He could not enjoy his riches for fear of disease or something happening to him. He tried to live in a bubble where there was no threat. And because of that, he lived like a prisoner. That's exactly what the Bible says. He that feareth is not perfected in love, for perfect love casteth out all fear. Hallelujah. Amen. He that feareth, for fear hath torment. The actual Greek word is penal imprisonment. It puts you in a prison and punishes you. Today, God wants to set the captive free. Hallelujah. That through our whole life in existence as human beings have been held captive and held prisoner by the fear of death. I don't want to die before my time. I'm certainly not going to be reckless. I'm going to be thoughtful. I'm not going to be careless. But praise God, I'm going to live carefree in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to be as a child of God, right with God. I'm going to cast my care on Him, because He cares for me, and He cares for you today. Praise God. Listen, in these times that we are living, Psalm 112 gives us the characteristics of a man who is right with God, and the resulting blessing, especially unshaken peace in the time of trouble. I love verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, of bad news, because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. In the Hebrew, it means to be firm, to be stable, to be established. And trust is to have confidence in, to be secure, to feel safe, careless. What? You mean there is a place of trusting God where we can be careless? Not careless in terms of, you know, just being impetuous and doing things that we know would bring us danger, but carefree in the sense of casting our care upon the Lord. We used to sing, there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. Trust in Jesus and He will keep you in the shelter of His arms. You see, being right with God is a stronghold in the time of trouble, because we can then trust Him with everything and in every circumstance. The righteous man, woman, boy, girl, right with God through Jesus Christ, listen, is in a privileged place, producing a precious peace and resulting in spiritual joy. I want to say that again. If you're truly right with God today, you are in a privileged place, producing a precious peace, resulting in spiritual joy. Romans 14:17 says it like this, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God. We've been translated out of the powers of darkness as Christians into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And there is boldness because we are in a privileged place. Listen to Proverbs 28 and verse 1. "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." We have a standing with God. We are His children, the sheep of His pasture and the people of His hand. God is with us and God is for us. You don't have to be strong in yourself, nor adequate, nor resilient in yourself. You have a privileged standing with God, and God will deliver. Praise God. Our trust is not in ourselves, but in our God. Psalm 112 verse 8 says, "His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." This victory over his enemies. Established means to lean or to lay upon, rest upon, lean against. And remember, fixed meant established and to be firm. The heart firmly established in trusting God, leaning on God for support, in full confidence in His love and His faithfulness. I like what the songwriter wrote when he said so eloquently, "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, I won't turn back. I've come this far by faith." Remember that song, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear?" Leaning on the everlasting arms. See, leaning on God, looking to God, trusting in God, resting in Him. Hallelujah. In the troubled times. Look with me at Isaiah 54 and verse 11. This begins with this bringing in prophetically the Gentiles are going to be brought into the covenant. And that happened when Jesus died on the cross, took down the middle partition, and made us one in Him. Jew and Greek, bond and free, male and female. Hallelujah. We become one in Christ. But listen, Isaiah 54:11, "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. I'll make thy windows of agates, thy gates of carbuncles and thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established." You see, the heart established in righteousness has nothing to fear. "In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror for it shall not come near thee. Glory be to God. It didn't say there won't be times when the oppression is going to come and the terrifying things are going to occur, but it will not overcome and overwhelm thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals and the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. He's saying this. We're visualizing here a warrior with a sword and a spear and an axe prepared for battle. And he said, you know something? I created that weapon that he's trying to use against you, and I created that warrior that is intent on your destruction. And therefore both his weapons and his intentions are subject to my superior power and purpose. Hallelujah. That's why verse 17 is so relevant. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We have a privileged standing. God has promised protection. We need only to trust. See the progression from privileged standing to precious peace. Peace is such a precious jewel. Someone said that I would give anything for it but truth, according to Matthew Henry. Let's back up and catch verses 7 through 10. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, in Isaiah 54, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face but for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, but I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. This is kingdom peace. This is warrior peace. This is resting peace. This is peace resulting from a right standing with God. Look at it in Isaiah 32, 17 and 18. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Peace with God brings the peace of God into our hearts. And this peace results in the new covenant that we are living in right now, from coming to Christ as our Savior and having our sins pardoned and receiving the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if our heart is fixed in trusting the Lord, our peace will be unshakable. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And this peace of mind and heart progresses to spiritual joy, or as the scripture says, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Kingdom of God, not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Revelation 7:9. I like this scripture. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and the Lamb. In Christian symbolism, the palm has always been used to represent joy, and especially that joy which comes from victory. Doubtless this symbol came into the church through the use of palm branches by the Greek and Romans to celebrate their triumphs over their enemies. But to the Christian, the palm symbolizes victory over self, over sin, over Satan, and over the world. The great multitude of the redeemed are represented as standing before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, representing the righteousness that's obtained through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And with palms in their hands. Palms of victory. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that song. I haven't heard it in years, but it's an old hymn of the faith, Palms of Victory. I want to read a verse and chorus of that. I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad. While struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone, yet shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was sinking low. He overtopped the mountain and reached the vale below. While gazing toward that city, his everlasting home, he shouted loud hosannas. Deliverance will come, and deliverance has come. Palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. Dear friend, religion without this relationship is a dead, man-made institution, a form of godliness, denying both the power and the privilege thereof. God is with us in a tangible way. He lives within us as Christ in us, the hope of glory. We do not just lift up our hands in praise. We're waving palms of victory. Praise God. Crowns of glory. While the world sees only a hopeless end, bringing this state of depression and oppression, we will be far from oppression and far from terror. And God wants to juxtapose us against this world, showcase the people of peace in the perilous time. Where do you get this? The Bible said if you get this peace reigning in your heart and in your mind, because your heart is established trusting God, because you're established in righteousness with God. Listen, what is going to happen? Be ready to give an answer to all men, the scripture teaches, for the reason of the hope that is in you. This has to be a viable, visible hope, not just a bumper sticker on the tail end of your car. This has to be something we represent. And when people see our peace in the perilous time, they will begin to listen. Not everyone, no, not everyone at all. But many, I believe, will be drawn to hear about where we're getting this peace from. Because you sure can't get it from the politicians. You can't get it from the scientists. You can't get it from the military strategists. You can't get it from the news agencies. You can't get it from the universities. You can't get it from the medical profession. But you can and must get it from God, the God of peace. Hallelujah. The God of peace. All the scripture that was written aforetime was written for our learning, that through the patience, comfort of the scripture, we might have hope. And if you have hope, then you can have peace of mind no matter what is happening around us. We should be prisoners of hope and not prisoners of fear today. And when people see it and they will listen, where's this coming from? Be ready, instant in season out, for someone to come up and want to hear where we have this hope from. And we can tell them about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the author and finisher of our faith, and the great kingdom of God that'll come within us now and is coming to rule and reign this planet. Hallelujah. Thank God today for being able to have hope in a perilous time, perfect peace in a perilous time. A God who says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Oh, today, friend, there's nothing like this. Let's don't get caught up in the fear, the trepidation, the terror that is engulfing the world today. Let's seize the day, the opportunity to rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. He keeps our heart and mind as we trust in Him. Hallelujah. And we become a light. In the midst of a wicked, perverse generation, we become shining luminaries. Hallelujah. Lights in a sin-darkened, hopeless world. Oh, friend, isn't it good to know Jesus today, to be in this kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says of you, and I don't have to tell you this, you know it in your heart, if you're without God, if you're without God as your Father, as your Savior, if you're without God as your hope and your help, the Bible said if you're without God, you're without hope in the world. No wonder people drink up and shoot up and literally kill themselves with alcohol and with drugs, because they lose hope and they're looking for something to numb them to the hopelessness. And they just try to trip out and get out of the reality of that hopelessness. Ah, but there's something that is better by far than just trying to trip out and get out. It's come to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Come to God, which is the God of all hope. Come repenting of your sin. Come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. Come today. Come today. As the song says, and I've so many times heard it, and if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved again. The song based on the truth of the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your soul. There's that peace of mind. Hallelujah. That comes when you have peace with God, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Come now. Come to Jesus.